Come out of the world, oh my people.
Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instructions of our Creator and putting His Word into action. From suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show with your host, Paul Nisan.
Hello, everybody. This is Paul with Torah Life Ministries. Thank you for joining me yet again for another reading of our Suffer Well devotional series. And you can see more of this at TorahLifeMinistries.org. Today, we're going to be talking about redemption and understanding what it truly is. And this is such a profound message, and I pray that you really take these scriptures to heart. So we're starting off with the devotion, and then I'll do a little teaching on it. We're going to start off with Exodus 13, verse 13. Exodus 13, verse 13 says, "A firstborn donkey may be brought back from Yahweh by presenting a lamb or a young goat in its place. But if you do not buy it back, you must break its neck. However, you must buy back every firstborn son." So that is the scripture verse here. And we think about this, and it says in a devotion, "And in this physical fulfillment, which is a shadow of the heavenly, a metaphorical meaning cries out to us. The donkey is an ignorant and stubborn beast. The lamb is a fearful and docile creature. The redemption, which is necessary, includes protection against a future fall. The play is ignorant, stubborn, fearful, docile. And of course, the neck, which represents full or decline." Continuing, it says, "I too am ignorant, stubborn, fearful, docile, and in a mental decline, unless redeemed. And with my needed redemption, I also desire the ability to never fall or decline again. Are these not states of your conscious emotions before its redemption by the Spirit? Isn't it sad that this remains the state of consciousness for so many, even after they have claimed to be saved? And because of each one's own choice to fall from Yahweh, everything must be redeemed over and over again." Right? To the contrary, Yahweh's redemption means that you actually have the option to never fall, declining thoughts again. The broken neck actually ends the decline. This should be a permanent brokenness in which you are forever broken by a spiritual redeemer. Every thought, and we look in parentheses, firstborn, must now be spiritually transformed. Yes, that means your ignorance, stubbornness, fearfulness, docility, and mental decline are forever eradicated. Each thought is now sanctified unto Yahweh as a sign, the first fruit of a redeemed mind, if you will, human. Love. Unacceptable. Yahweh's love never fails, as we see in 1 Corinthians 1:13. We know His love never fails. We know what Corinthians 1:13 says. And it says, "And is the only acceptable standard of love human goodness impossible? There is none whom are good without His Spirit." Psalms 14, verse 1-3 says, "Only fools say in their hearts, there is no good. They are corrupt and their actions are evil, and not one of them does good." This Creator looks down from heaven and the entire human race. He looks to see if anyone is truly wise, if anyone seeks Yahweh. But no, all have turned away, all have become corrupt. Is no one, and no one does good, not a single one. And correcting it, it says in the verse of Psalms 14, verse 1, "Only fools say there is no God." Not there is no good, there is no God. And God says there is no good. And then Yahweh says human worthlessness, Yahweh says, filthy rags, Isaiah 64, verse 6 says, we are all infected and impure with sin. When we display our righteous deeds, they are nothing but filthy rags, like autumn leaves that wither and fall. Our sins sweep us away like the wind. Worthlessness through his son is the only absolute listening to the spirit, loved one. Sacrifice every thought unto truth, as revealed by him alone. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Some of my favorite verses here says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to Yahweh, because all he has done for you, let them be a living and a holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let Yahweh transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know Yahweh's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. If you do, very soon you shall be completely redeemed with a mind within you, a saved mind. This is the mind with no consciousness of sin. And Hebrews 9:14 says, just think how much more the blood of Yeshua will purify our consciousness from sinful deeds so that we can worship the living God. For by the power of the evil spirit, Yeshua offered himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. So now, that's the devotional. And there was a man I know yesterday that wrote on the internet that he doesn't believe in any so-called religion or God, that his religion is gentleness. And I was going to reply, I decided not to, but I think about a lot of people that try to separate themselves or try to live a life without Yeshua. And I think about this devotional this morning. There's no good without Yeshua. There's no good without Yeshua. And we have to understand the point of what he's done for us. We don't choose him. We need him. That's the difference people don't get. We don't choose his redemption. We need his redemption. That's what we need to understand. Romans 6:13 says, do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to Yahweh. For you were dead, but now you have a new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right to the glory of Yahweh. Now think about that for a second. Our entire body, including our mind, must be completely for him. And if we accept the gift that he's given us in the Holy Spirit, we will not transgress. We will move forward. And I think about in the scriptures when it says in Matthew 5:30, it says, and if your hand, even your stronger hand, causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And then I go back to Romans, what we just read. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin, to give yourselves completely to Yahweh. And then I go back and I read Matthew 18:8, and it says, so if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better to enter eternal life with only one hand, or one foot, to be thrown into eternal fire, both your hands and your feet. And then I go back again and I look at Romans 6:13. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. And then I go back to Matthew 18:9, and it says, and if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better to enter eternal life with only one eye than to have two eyes and to be thrown into the fires of hell. I think about that. And people say, that's ridiculous that we would deny a part of our body and that we would decapitate a part of our body. And that's not what I'm suggesting to doing. But I'm telling you this. Somebody can get a disease due to their sin often. And they'll cut off their leg due to diabetes. They'll cut off every part of their body and cut out every part of their body because a doctor said to do it. It doesn't seem ridiculous when a doctor says to do it. But when Yahweh says to do it, it seems ridiculous to man. That is the problem. We don't listen to him. But thank heavens for Yahweh's wonderful redemption, where we don't need to take any part of our bodies out. Whether it's from a disease or sin, he could redeem us and we could be transformed. That disease can go away, that physical disease. And that spiritual disease of sin can be swept away through the redemption of our wonderful Creator. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we think about that. Our entire bodies must be for him. 1 Peter 2:5 says, "And you are living stones that Yahweh is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priest. Through the meditation of Yeshua Messiah, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please Yahweh." We must sacrifice and be willing to sacrifice our bodies, our minds, and everything up for him. When Yeshua came to the disciples, he said, "Follow me." He wasn't looking for excuses or reasons. He was just looking for one answer. "I will follow you right now." And they dropped everything and they followed him. That's what he wants us to do. Follow him for what he did for us, what he gave for us, and what he gives for us. Galatians 1:4 says Yeshua gave his life for our sins. So as Yahweh our Father planned in order to rescue us from this evil world in which we live, he will save us from the physical disease. He will save us from the spiritual disease and the spiritual blindness, so we don't need to decapitate ourselves. That we can come fully for him through Yeshua, our wonderful Messiah, who did it for us and gave his whole life up for us. Ephesians 4:23 says, "Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes." The Spirit that we get when we accept him with our heart, when we circumcise our heart. Colossians 3:10 says, "Put on a new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like him. So new that people don't even recognize you from the past that once knew you." That's how new we have to be. New in Yeshua. To love what he loves and hate what he hates. When you accept him with your lips, it means nothing if your heart's not going to follow. It must be a transformation that takes place in your heart. The things you once loved in the flesh, you now are embarrassed about those things. Hebrews 6:1 says, "So let us stop going over the basic teachings of Yeshua again and again. Let us go over instead and become mature in our understanding." Surely we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds and placing our faith in Yahweh. No, we need to keep moving forward and go over and beyond any expectations we ever thought in our intellectual thinking, and to trust Yahweh fully that we can do all things. Not having fear or doubt, but having faith. The faith to overcome, the faith to do all things. The only thing holding us back is our lack of faith and our unbelief. We must believe. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "Yeshua suffered for our sins once and for all. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you safely home to Yahweh. He suffered physical death, but he was raised to life in the Spirit." Hallelujah. And that's what he wants us to do. Be willing to take up our cross and follow him. Be willing to suffer a physical death so we can be raised again with him in our new spirit, in our new life. How many of you are willing to do that? John 1:7 says, "But if we are living in the light, as Yahweh is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Yeshua, his son, cleanses us from all sin." That can't happen with unbelief. We must believe. We must believe and persevere. We must turn from sin. We must hate sin. Many of you don't even know what sin is. Sin is living against the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. Yes, if you break the commandments, you are living in sin. I will submit to you that the church today is teaching Christians to live in sin by saying the law is done away with. For the Bible says repentance brings refreshing. If there's no sin, how could there be repentance? there is sin, breaking the guidelines and instructions, the commandments of our Creator. We need to turn from sin. We need to stop living in unbelief. Repentance is to change our mind. Repentance brings refreshing, as it says in Acts 3:19. That's what we need. That's what we need. But we have to remember, when we change our mind, it's only the faith in Yeshua, not in our repentance, not in our actions, not in our works, but only in the faith of Yeshua and Yeshua alone, that we can overcome and persevere. That's it. He took our sins, but it's impossible without Yeshua to do this. Matthew 4:17, from that time on, Yeshua began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." You understand, repentance is a result of your circumcised heart. Repentance means to turn. It's a result of your circumcised heart. And we must change. John 6:44 says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up in that last day." You can't have repentance without Yeshua. I'll say it again. You cannot have repentance without Yeshua. Repentance is the result of a salvation. You cannot have repentance without Yeshua. Ezekiel 36, verses 26 to 27 says, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove you, your heart of stone, and give you a heart of flesh. That I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws." To keep my laws. To not sin. To not sin. "Therefore, anyone is in Yeshua, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, the new things come." I don't care what a person calls himself. I don't care what a person says with their lips. If they enjoy living in their sin, if they enjoy living against the guidelines and instructions of the Creator, if they make excuses for living in sin, if they're teaching others that the Lord has done away with, they need to question what spirit is speaking to them. Jude 1 verse 4 says, "For certain individuals whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped among you. They are ungodly people who pervert the grace of our Elohim into a license for immortality and immorality and deny Yeshua as our Savior, as a wonderful Messiah." Now get this straight. We're human. There's a difference between turning from sin. It doesn't mean you're not going to struggle. It doesn't mean you're not going to have hard times. But the more you hate the sin, the easier it will be to avoid it. Romans 7:15-17 says, "I don't understand what I am doing, for I don't practice what I want to do, but instead I do what I hate. Now if I practice what I don't want to do, I am admitting that the law is good. And it is, as I am no longer the one who is doing it, but it's the sin that is living in me." We must get rid of the sin. We must repent. The world today doesn't want to hear the word repent. Repent has become a curse word to the church today. But it's not. Acts 17:30 says, "In the past, Yahweh overlooked such ignorance. But now he commands all people everywhere to repent." Repent! Repent! And Mark 6:12, "So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent. As I go and street evangelize, I tell people repent. And Christians come up to me and say, I don't think this is the way to do it." That's exactly the way to do it. People need to repent. What do they need to repent from? People need to know what sin truly is. People need to be told what sin truly is. And by the faith in Yeshua, we can do it. By the faith in Yeshua, we can do it, and we can be confident and hope and give up our unbelief. Hebrews 11:1 says, "And faith is confidence, and we hope for assurance about what we do not see." We have to understand the gifts that Yahweh gives us and the faith that we could have in Yeshua, our wonderful Messiah. It says in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not from yourselves. It is a gift from Yahweh, not by works, so that you cannot, so that one can boast." 2 Peter 1, 1, "Simon Peter, a bondservant of the apostle Yeshua Messiah, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of Yahweh our Savior, Yeshua Messiah." And Philippians 1, verse 29 says, "For to you it has been granted, for Yeshua's sake, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake." When you have faith, when you understand what Yeshua did for us, and you act out on that, and your heart has truly been circumcised, and you repent, which means to change your mind and your actions change, that's the pattern that Yahweh wants. Romans 1, 16 to 17 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of Yahweh that brings salvation to everyone who believes." How many of you told people yesterday that Yeshua died for them? How many people did you tell? How many people are you going to tell today Yeshua died for them? The average person has no problem asking a stranger for directions, but they have an embarrassment of telling people that Yeshua died for them. Colossians 2:14 says, "By canceling the record of debt that stood against you with its legal demands, he set aside, nailing it to the cross." He took the death penalty away so you could have life and you could live your life. He didn't take sin away. There's still sin that exists. He took the death penalty of the sin so we can have a new life. We have to get that. We have to understand that. Mark 1:15 says, "The time has come," he said, "the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." I want everyone to go on your Instagram and your Facebook and your YouTube and tell everyone that. Repent and believe in the good news of Yeshua. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, "And without faith it is impossible to please Yahweh, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. James 1 verses 6 and 7 says, "But he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from our wonderful Creator." We must live and go by faith. We must. We must. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we live by faith, not by sight." Matthew 19:26 says, "Yeshua looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with Yahweh all things are possible." And Isaiah 65:24 says, "Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear." Nothing is impossible if we bring it to Yahweh. How much time did you spend yesterday in prayer? How much time do you spend every day speaking to him? We need to speak to him. We need to understand through prayer what the amazing things that were done in Scripture. Matthew 21:22 says, "And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive, if you have faith." Oh, and then one of my favorite verses in all of the Scripture, Psalms 46:10. "Be still and know that I am Yahweh. Be still and know that I am Yahweh." And just rest in him. Psalm 62:5 says, "My soul find rest in Yahweh. My hope comes from him." Proverbs 3:5-6, Proverbs being another word for wisdom, says, "Trust in Yahweh with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways and let him direct your paths." Let him direct your paths. He's got this. He's got this. But we need to have the faith. We need to have the faith and remain hopeful in him. Remain hopeful in him. Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of Yahweh." That's where it comes in. By hearing the word of a wonderful Creator. Psalms 34:17 says, the righteous cry out, and Yahweh hears them and delivers them from all their troubles. Though he slay me, I hope in him. I will surely defend my ways to his face, Job 13, verse 15. That's what we need, the faith of a wonderful creator. I know times are hard today and people are suffering, but we don't understand the true suffering that Yeshua did for us. And we haven't, many of us haven't even touched that. When I read Fox's Books of Martyrs, when I look at the ministry for Voice of the Martyrs, and I see these people that are willing to die and give up their lives because they understand about eternity and they understand about eternal life versus our short time here. With joy, they go singing with praise on their tongue to their death. They don't have fear about death because they know they're going to be with Yeshua. We need to have the faith and the wisdom and the understanding of the patterns of our Creator and what He wants us to do. And we need to be thankful and joyful every single morning, every single day, every single moment for His wonderful redemption and that He redeemed us as we were sitting there on death row waiting to be sentenced. Guilty, guilty, guilty. Yeshua came and took our place and took that penalty for us. But when He set us free, He said, before you go, here's a book of my instructions. Live by them. And you won't be back here on death row. Live by them, and your life will be a life of peace and shalom, a long life. And we have that choice. For it says, many are called, but few are chosen. But the meaning is, many are called, but few choose. And what choice are you going to make today? It's my prayer you make the choice of Yeshua. Yeshua, Yeshua, hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, everybody, that is the devotional for today. Please share this with others and let everyone know. And thank you so much for listening. You can see more on my website at TorahLifeMinistries.org. You can also go to the Patreon page at patreon.com/TorahLifeMinistries. And it's my honor and blessing to be able to bring this to you every single day with the freedom that we have in Yeshua to come to you and share this news with you every day. Never be ashamed of the gospel. Have faith. Unbelief in the enemy want to keep you from understanding the truth in Yeshua Messiah who died for you. We need to be thankful and understand this is the day Yahweh has made. We should rejoice and be gladful in it. So have a blessed day, everybody. Thank you so much, and shalom, shalom.
Come out of the world. You have been listening to Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Nisan. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to Torah Life Ministries, P.O. Box 16156, West Palm Beach, Florida 33416. And thank you for your prayers and generous support. Torah Life Ministry. Lord, we cry.